really, this time for real, to stay. This is the talk show hell hates. This is apparently the technology hell hates. And the more you listen, especially today, the more you know why. I've got, let me do this here. I got some articles to read first. And I want to, I don't want to undercut this at all, but somebody sent me something the other day. It just blew my mind. Because you guys are the ones out there seeing things that I can't see, don't see, shouldn't see. You guys are the ones out there seeing things that are happening that they tell you that we are nearing the time of the end. If, let's just say for, I don't know, the devil's advocate or whatever, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to appear in the clouds for the next 50 years. I personally think he will, but others have said that and they've kind of been wrong. So, all the things that are going on, especially in this country, they spell disaster. They spell the outpouring of God's wrath on this country. For who we are, who we, what we are, what we have become, what we do. And people think that they're getting away with it. Now, when I give you the topic du jour, you're going to understand why I'm including Canada in with this. Okay, just so you'll... I don't want to leave Canada out. We both have the same roots, and that is the French and the English battled for control of this area. They settled it, and then they fought over it, and then the British finally ended up with it, us and Canada, and then we decided King George's not doing us right. So anyway, that's old stuff. We're buddies now with England anyway. But I'm going to include Canada in this. But I want to read this article came in today. And I may have to read it off of Evernote, or I may have to read it online. Because sometimes I ask the printer to print something out, and it doesn't do it well. But the article is... this, that a genetically modified virus. Let's see if I can find it here. Now, let's see. There's the goat that gives birth to a half pig, half human. Donna, the software lady, sent me that article in an email today, and I saw it just before PMO started, and I'm going, oh, that's a, like, oh, that's like 10 years old. That happened out in Africa somewhere. Oh, no, this is a brand new one. Brand new one. The goat that gave birth to what looks like a half pig, half human. Where's my sound effects? I got a pig sound effect here somewhere. You can go to Drudge Report and find that because it's on there right now. Where's my pig? There we go. Let me read the British scientist article. British scientists develop genetically modified virus. You know, I could put this on the screen for you. Well, you could see it. I could be like real professional here. Let me do that. And there we go. Switch it over. Well, now let's back it up here real quick. British scientists developed genetically modified virus that kills cancer cells and destroys their hiding places. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want it. And they're pushing genetically modified everything. Genetically modified virus that kills cancer. It targets both cancer cells and healthy cells that are tricked into protecting the cancer from the immune system. Fibroblasts, the most common type of cell and connective tissues, are vital in the body's healing process, but they can get hijacked by cancer-associated fibroblasts, or CAFs. That also stands for the Canadian Air Force. These then help tumors grow, spread, and evade therapy. The new treatment, a form of immunotherapy developed by Oxford University, attacks carcinomas, the most common type of cancer. Currently, any therapy that kills the quote-unquote tricked fibroblast cells may also kill healthy fibroblasts throughout the body. For example, in the bone marrow and skin, causing illness during treatment. Using a virus called inadenotusarev. It's Russian for virus, I guess. Already being used in clinical trials as a cancer treatment. Experts were able to program. See, you can tell that's British. Programmy. We're able to program the virus to only attack cancerous cells. The virus uses a protein to bind cancerous cells to immune cells to destroy the disease. These immune cells normally can't find unhealthy cancerous cells as they are hidden by Canadian Air Force people, CAFs. Lead author, Dr. Carrie Fisher, who also played in Star Wars. Carrie Fisher, right? Dr. Carrie Fisher, played in Star Wars. Lead author, Dr. Carrie Fisher from the Department of Oncology at the university, said, even when most of the cancer cells in a carcinoma are killed, fibroblasts can protect the residual cancer cells and help them to recover and flourish. See, it sounds very, oh my goodness. There's a reason why I don't normally show articles. Didn't know that was on there. And some of you are going, what? What? I didn't see it. What was it? You'll back it up. I know you're going to back it. In fact, you just did. Until now, there has not been any way to kill both cancer cells. And it's just one way that an internet website can grab your attention and sell advertising. I mean, why that? Why did they have to put that in with this article? Our new technique is to simultaneously target the fibroblasts while killing cancer cells with the virus could be an important step towards reducing immune system suppression within carcinomas and violating tons and tons of scripture. That was an addition to the quote that I just made. Going to kill the story. But anyway, genetically modified viruses. Yeah, that's what we think of. I mean, think about what a virus is. A virus is nothing more than a bundle of genetic material. It's all it is. And it's genetic material that your body doesn't like it, and it tries to take over. Think of what Paul said concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, their words doth eat as a canker or cancer. It's the same, that means the same thing. The word, and I love the Bible because if you ever want to learn English, learn the King's English from the King James Bible. Learn the King's speech. Because if you don't know what a word means, a lot of times the Bible will tell you what it means. Like God says, I will sweep them with the besom of destruction. What is a besom? Well, God said what it was. It's a broom. I'll sweep them with the besom of destruction. And in that verse where he talked, talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, their word doth eat as doth a canker. What does the word canker or cancer mean? Something that eats something. It devours, and that's what cancer does. It devours flesh. And when it comes to the words of Hymenaeus and Philetus or any other false teacher, false prophet, false scientist, or whatever, their words will eat away good doctrine or sound reasoning. Their words will eat that away. Why do people just go out of their mind and flip over to Jehovah's Witness or Mormons or any cult? Why do people just flip out and decide that, oh, we've got to keep the law now to be saved. Got to keep the Sabbath. Got to be circumcised. Got to do all these things that the law said, or only half of them, because we know we can't keep the whole law, but God wants us to keep as much of the law as we possibly can. God wants that. No. You go back and read your Bible. Show me where God wants you to keep most of the law. I'm waiting. Not there. God never said, keep as much of the law as possible. Never said it. God said, keep it all. Every bit of it. Or else, there's a punishment, and the punishment is death, because if you decide to live by the law, then you live under the terms of the law, and the terms of the law are, I mean, we don't like to think things like this, but this is true. If you sign a contract, any kind of contract, and like if you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a house on payments, you're going to borrow money, or you're going to rent a house, and the rental agreement says rent is due first day of every month. First day of every month. If that rent is not paid in full on the first day of every month, then this contract is considered void. So let's say you're leasing a house or an apartment or a flat, instead of a round, I guess. But you're leasing a place to live, and your lease agreement's $800 a month, £800 a month, and you pay $750. Can the landlord take that and have mercy on you? Yep, he sure can. There's nothing in the law that says he can't have mercy on you, that he can't long suffer with you. There's nothing that disallows him from having mercy. But he doesn't have to. If you pay $750 instead of $800, you did not pay the rent in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of that contract. You did not pay the law. Or you did not pay the rent. You did not fulfill the terms of the contract. Now, you may think that you did as much as you could, and that old Scrooge, you ought to be happy with that. But that's not what you, if you didn't want that old Scrooge's apartment, you shouldn't have signed that old Scrooge's contract. If you didn't want to be under a contract with a man that you thought was just a money miser, then you shouldn't have rented. There are other places to live. But and this is how courts see it. This is how a judge will see it. You could have lived anywhere, but you chose to live in that place, and you chose to sign that contract, and just because for the first 6 months your landlord decided he didn't want to go through the process of after having rented it out to you and you not paying the first month rent in full, he could have thrown you out then. But he decided a little is better than none, because if he throws you out, he knows he's not going to get anything out of that for at least the next 4 months. It's going to take another month to get you out of it. And so just because he decided to have mercy on you and long suffer with you, there was nothing in the contract that said that he had to. You signed the contract, you made the agreement. You didn't have to, but that's what you did because you wanted a place to live. Israel wanted a place to live that was better than being in Egypt. But there were conditions that came with that flat in Canaan land. And the conditions were that they had to keep 100% of the law, 100% of it. Here I'm talking. I had no plans on talking about this, but I think this has to be talked about. And since I already opened up the door, I'm gonna keep going. Israel signed the contract. They said to Moses. Moses is the mediator of the contract. Moses goes to, because Israel, once they heard God speak in Exodus 20, the 70th chapter of the Bible, God speaks out loud to all these people on earth, and they said, stop doing that. We do not want to hear your voice any longer. We can't bear it. So they asked for a mediator, and Moses was the mediator. They said, Moses, now on you go and listen to God, and then you tell us what he said, but other than that, tell him not to do that anymore. We will die. His voice was so terrible and so strong, it would have killed him. And so they established the office, and Moses is the mediator between God and the children of Israel. And so God says, Moses, tell them, here's the law, here's the terms, I have the land, I'm going to kick the old tenants out, I'm going to put them in. Just a matter of time. All you got to do is say yes, and that's what we'll do. And is when Moses brought that to them, they said, all that thou hast said, we will do. They agreed to it. They consented to the contract. They signed it. It was sealed in blood. It was a blood oath. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it upon the book and upon all the people. That sealed the contract. And it sealed Israel under the terms of that contract. And at no point, you'll never see this anywhere. So you can take your Ellen White books and all of her doctrine and burn it, as far as I'm concerned, because that's where it belongs. It's trash. I had a guy, and he's got to be well-meaning, but he's not well informed. And he sent me a handwritten note, and it said, Pastor Mike, I have attached to this handwritten note. It was about 5 or 6 pages worth of quotations. And he said, please read every word of it. It only took me reading half of the first page to realize what it was. I did look at the other pages and scan over it to make sure that I was making a correct judgment, and I was, but it was 4, 5, 6 pages worth of every quotation from all kinds of sources about Saturday being the real Sabbath day. I already know that. But what this person wanted me to jump into from that source was, oh my goodness, we got to start going to church on Saturday. We got to stop this Sunday church madness and start going to church on Saturday. I'm assuming that's what they wanted me to do. I'm going to tell you what I did with that paper. I threw it in the bin. Do you know why? There was no scripture on there that said, thou shalt go to church on Sunday, or anything of that equivalent nature. There is no scripture anywhere where God says, I have this one law, keep this one, and I know you're going to violate the others. That's fine. I've got it covered on the cross. But the Sabbath day is not covered under the cross. Therefore, you must keep it. That's not in the Bible anywhere. It's not there. Ellen White made that up. Others may have joined in with her or made it up all on their own, away from her. But I'm telling you, it's not in the Bible. It's not part of the terms of the new covenant that we are under. It wasn't even part of the terms of the old covenant. The old covenant said, see these 10 commandments? Pick one, throw away the other. That's not what he said. He said, keep all of the laws and statutes and judgments. Every one of them. And those terms are laid out very clearly in Deuteronomy 28. And you got to read it. Got to read it. If you're going to come unglued, you're going to come unglued at what God said instead of what I said. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he said all of them. And then he gives the blessings. Then he says, now, if you do not do all of my statutes. I got to read that one too. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. All of them. All, every one of them. There is no place in Scripture where God says, keep as much of the law as you can. The rest of it I have covered. It is not partial righteousness expected of us, and then Christ fills in the gaps. That's not the contract. That's not the covenant that God made either with Israel or with us. And this, again, this guy sends me this 4 or 5 pages, not one place in there where quoted scripture telling me that I must keep the Sabbath day commandment, even if I want to break all the others. I must keep that one. Not even a verse in there that tells me I have to go to church on Saturday. Not one. There's not one place in the Bible that says that. So I am going to fight for the gospel for the rest of my life. I'm going to fight on behalf, because if it's this group telling you to keep the Sabbath, another group is going to tell you that you got to keep something else. Where does it stop? It doesn't just stop with Sabbath keeping. It's not going to stop. Because then they're going to pile on everything else that you must do and you must perform. And I am going to fight on behalf of those who cannot perform, who cannot pay, who cannot rise up to the level expected out of other people in order to be saved. I'm going to speak and I'm going to fight on their behalf. I represent a large group of people who are saved by grace and not by one thing that they did. Keep all the commandments that you can. Really? What verse is that? It's not there. So, back to the landlord. If the landlord, if you don't pay, I mean, look at it like this. You show up, you look at the property and say, yeah, I like this. Will you reserve it for me? The landlord's going to say, money talks. Right? You finished the phrase. Money talks. You put a $500 deposit in my hand. I will hold it for you for 24 hours, for 48 hours, for however long. I'll hold it for you. And then I will apply that to your first month if you want. Most places will require a security deposit. That is for damages. They will take that if you cheat them out of rent money. Or if you break the contract, they're going to keep it. And they got a legal right to do so. But if he says, I want a $500 deposit, and then I will let you move in on the first. If you give him a $400 deposit, you did not give him a $500 deposit. That was the terms, a $500 deposit. You gave him $350, you gave him $4, you gave him $499. The terms were $500. $499 is not $500. Just ask the IRS. Ask your bank. If you cash a check at your bank and the check is for $500 and your bank hands you out $499 and you're on your way out to your car, you're counting money and you count up a dollar short, you're going to turn around and go back and say you shorted me a dollar. Of course you are. Or $5, whatever. You're not going to let them short you. They're not going to let you short them either. They're in the bank. Their whole business is they count money. And when it comes to that landlord, if you don't pay him the money, he's not going to hold the property. And he doesn't have to. And you can sue him and you will lose. If he lets you move in, and he's waiting for your first month rent and you don't pay it, if you signed a contract, he can then go right then, whenever he wants to, he can go to a lawyer. That lawyer will submit, he can go to a judge. He didn't have to have a lawyer. He can bypass a lawyer, go right to the courthouse and fill out whatever paperwork it takes to ask a judge to issue an order of get out order. You know what I'm saying. Okay? We're kicking you out. And if the judge looks at it and he approves it, you got 30 days. You got to get out. And if you don't get out in 30 days, then they're going to send a sheriff deputy out to that house and they're going to escort you off the property while a team comes in and sets all your stuff out on the street. If you don't pay the contract, you don't have a right to live in that place. And that's the arrangement that God made with Israel in the Old Testament concerning Canaan land and with us in heaven. If you don't fulfill the terms of the contract, you don't get to live in that place. There is another place for you. You may not like the heat, but it's there. And my point is this. When it comes to fulfillment of our obligation, if you say, this is what I'm going to do, then you agreed to the contract. Fooey on this stuff. Well, I paid most of the rent. What is that? That old geezer? Old Scrooge? Always want. I got to have exactly the exact amount. And he goes to church every Sunday. Oh, some Christian he is. I that gets all over me. Really? You agreed to contract with this guy who goes to church every Sunday. And you're not keeping up your end of the deal. And he's the bad guy? I don't think so. You are. You just don't want to admit it. You've lived your whole life this way. You lived your whole life doing whatever you wanted to do, cheating people out of things, and then expect everybody to get over it. And you expect God to do the same thing for you. Well, God's going to see my good deeds over my bad. And you can say, well, I paid him $450, and then I mowed the grass one week of the month. Is that in the contract? No. Then you didn't pay the rent. If he said in the contract, give me $450, mow the grass 1 week out of the month, then I'll consider that as the other $50 for $500, and then we'll call it even. But that's not in the contract. The contract that God gives us in this new covenant is not did we believe that one time. Do we believe and continue in that belief? I absolutely, and I want to apologize, and I absolutely believe that true Bible Christianity, true salvation, true being sealed by the Holy Spirit, is that you continue steadfast in the faith. And you don't just believe one day, don't believe the next, and then continue on in that unbelief. That's not how it is. And people expect God to get over a lot of stuff that he never said and you never agreed to. You agreed. If you're going to live by the law, then you agreed to live by all of the law. Nothing wavering. And if you don't live by all of the law, it's not God that's the bad guy. It's you. You don't have to take that covenant. There's a better one. But you chose that one. That's the one that God is going to make you stick to. And if you don't, literally, and I'm not just saying, there is hell to pay if you don't stick to it. And I know me. There's no way at one time I may have been so arrogant as to think that I could live under the terms of the Old Testament and would have gotten into heaven. I might have been that arrogant at one time in my life, but I am not anymore. So I did not agree to a contract that required strict obedience to the law. I agreed to a contract that said, God, I will believe what you said. Now, let me tell you about God's mercy. There was a time when I was way short on paying. There was a time when I believed my colleagues, when I believed my fellows, when I believed my my peers, in that the Bible has mistakes in it and I don't have to believe everything in the Bible in order to go to heaven. And God long suffered with me through that time, but he didn't have to, did he? He long suffered with me, and he allowed me to see what it was like on the other side. But once God dealt with me sufficiently, once I got tired of being in debtor's prison, when I came out, I said, God, I will believe your word till the day I die. And I'll believe every word of it. May not understand it. And God, I'm not making a promise to you that I'm going to be good from here on out. Because I already know that I can't. But to believe what you said, I can do that. And that's the contract, that's the covenant that was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, God gave us an earnest of our inheritance, did he not? And what is the earnest? What is God's token to us that he's going to keep his end of the bargain? It was being sealed with his Holy Spirit. Okay, let me read that Ephesians 1. It's one thing to talk about the Bible. It's another thing entirely to read the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You can't trust until you hear. But after we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, notice he calls the gospel the entire Bible, not just John 3:16. Unless you consider John 3:16 the entirety of the word of truth, but other parts of the Bible probably not true. What a sad person you are. Where do you go to for help if you don't believe the rest of the Bible? Where do you go to for the new creation if you don't believe the first creation? In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it's like your father, you get to a certain age and your father takes you out to his 500-acre farm, and he shows you a field that used to have his name on it, like Don's Field. Now, it's got a big sign on it that says Mike's Field. And you look at your dad and you're going, Mike who? And your dad hits you on the back of the head. You, dummy! Me? Yeah, son, when I die, this is yours. Okay? That's your dad giving you the earnest of your inheritance. Now, son, it's still mine. It's my field. I'm alive, my field. When I die, your field. And I'm going to leave the sign up, your name on it, so that everybody knows you got dibs on it. Just want to throw that in, okay? And I don't know if we're going to link. Let's see, Revelation 22. I had a conversation with a lady about this yesterday. Concerning genetically modified viruses that are meant to kill cancer. You can't kill cancer with more cancer. Okay? It doesn't work that way. So here's the end of the contract. The end of the contract. Here's what our contractor said. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away of his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Genetically modified viruses, genetically modified humans, genetically modified churches are abounding everywhere. Speaking of genetically modified, Catholic Church has somewhat of a public relations problem. That's an understatement, is it not? In that they have all of these priests that for 1700 years they've told them, the moment you become a priest, you're celibate, and that's how it's going to be. Even though the Bible says, let them marry. Do not forbid them to marry, because they can't contain themselves. Catholic Church says, contain yourself. Or maybe they want them to vow a vow of celibacy, knowing that that's how they're going to hold power over them. So now you have, and it's not just last 50, 100 years. This has been going on for 1,000 years or better. Priests who say they're celibate. I have taken a vow of celibacy. I'm holy. They're lying. They're lying. I would say one maybe out of 100,000 Catholic priests. If there are 100,000 Catholic priests, I would say one of them is probably a true celibate. The rest of them, I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust it. So they've had an issue of fornicating, adultering, and sodomite priests and child molesting priests. Been going on for 1,000 years or better. So now the president of the Notre Dame, Notre Dame University in Indiana, South Bend, Indiana. Notre Dame is a Catholic university, and it's named after the Queen of Heaven, Mary, who aka Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So here you have this Notre Dame president, father, whom we're not supposed to call him father. Call no man father. Father John Jenkins says, child abusers are not monsters. November 15th, a Notre Dame law student has blasted the famous university's president for saying that child sex abusers shouldn't be turned into monsters. We're not turning them into monsters. They already are. Father John Jenkins made the remark in an interview with Crux, C-R-U-X. You know what that means? The cross. That's a joke. In an interview with the Cross, Crux magazine, while he explained why Notre Dame has not rescinded ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick's honorable doctorate. Ah, now we get it. Theodore McCarrick must be one of them monsters. There's a tendency, and I don't think it's a helpful tendency in this kind of situation, to turn the perpetrators into monsters, he told the interviewer. Inez San Martin. San Martin said his ability to see complexity in the clerical sexual abuse crisis befit Jenkins as, quote, an Oxford-educated philosopher, but Notre Dame student Dion Kathawa strongly disagrees. In a November 9th letter to the editor of the Notre Dame Observer, Kathawa asked if the interviewer's flattering words were a joke. Like, hello, laugh track. Come on. Out with it. Come on, say it. You can do it. In about 3 minutes, it'll show up. Sometimes my laugh track's a little slow. And timing is everything in humor. Timing is everything. There's nothing complex about what has happened here at all, the self-described loyal son of the church wrote. Priests who are commanded to tend their parishioners as a shepherd to this flock sexually abuse the most vulnerable in their charge, children, and men like McCarrick, when they weren't debasing themselves by abusing others, systematically covered it up, Kathawa continued. The irate student then took a swipe at Jenkins' name-brand degree. Frankly, only an Oxford-educated philosopher could possibly see anything in this heinous mess other than a thick coating of demonic filth, a filth that now covers the body of Christ and obscures her God-given mission, Kathawa stated. Institutions that churn out moral illiterates, bereft also of common sense, do not deserve our respect regardless of how prestigious they are, he said. He quoted Matthew, or the article quotes Matthew 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The student insisted that there's nothing nuanced or ambiguous about the clerical sex abuse tragedy. Rather than give of themselves fully, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, these priests selfishly indulged their own twisted, sinful desires and abused those that they were to love, even unto death, like Christ, he wrote. Kathawa urged Father Jenkins to repent, retract his tone-deaf comments, and apologize to the church. The student's letter attracted the attention of author and columnist Rod Dreher, who republished it in the online American Conservative website. Once a leading Catholic apologist, Dreher, author of The Benedict Option, lost his faith while reporting on the child sex abuse crisis in the church. It's not losing faith if you lose it concerning the Catholic Church. It's not faith. It's works. You lost works. And you haven't lost anything when it comes to Catholic Church. Dreher said that the letter was, quote, a sign that the younger generation of Catholics is not prepared to keep its head down while the church's leadership class excuses its own sins and failings. A few months ago, Notre Dame University, which has stripped convicted rapist Bill Cosby of his honorary degree, rejected a request by alumni to rescind that of the disgraced ex-cardinal. In August, addressing the controversy, Jenkins released a statement which read in part, While the university finds the alleged actions reprehensible and has no reason to question the New York Archdiocese Review Board's findings, it recognizes that McCarrick maintains his innocence and that a final decision in the case will come only after a canonical trial in Rome. That, in other words, that's a Dodge. That's what that is. Not a Chevy. Not a Ford. It's a Dodge. As in the case of Bill Cosby, we will wait until that trial is concluded to take action regarding McCarrick's honorary degree. We strongly urge those involved in this trial to reach a conclusion as expeditiously as possible. That's a dodge. In other words, this Bill Cosby meant nothing to them, and his honorary degree was in education. Dr. William Cosby. While this cardinal, actually, you got to understand, the Catholic Church is like any other large corporation or any other large entity. In its hierarchy are people who have a lot of power, and they can pull a lot of strings to get things done. And if you come out against somebody who is in the hierarchy, he may have so much power that may be the last thing you ever do in this world. You get what I'm saying? There are some people in this world who have so much power, they can look at a guy And that look would be a death sentence. There are people in this world, there are people in the Catholic Church and in other large denominations who have so much power, they can destroy somebody, they can glorify, beatify, and sanctify a child molester to become end up becoming a saint. That's how much power the Catholic Church thinks they have. Really, down on this earth, you have people in that organization or in other large organizations and denominations like it who can, at the very least, ruin another man's reputation simply because he came against one in, who is in the hierarchy. We can destroy this man. We'll destroy his reputation. We'll make sure that he never get. Think of it. Think of denominational leadership. If a church in the denomination needs a pastor, they call the denominational headquarters. Can you send us a pastor? Can you? Do you know of somebody that needs a church? And that denomination can hold such power over that church that if somebody is like a troublemaker in the denomination and they're going to stand for something the denomination doesn't want stood for, they can notify a church and say, yeah, you're considering this guy to be your pastor? Well, we're telling you don't. We're telling you he's not a good guy. We're telling you that we will not ever select your church to be one of the hosting churches for the next meeting or whatever. They can do all kinds of things with that power that they have. I call it the Christian industrial complex. And it is a religious machine operating just like Eisenhower was afraid of the military industrial complex that he used to be a part of it. Not only as a general, but as president and the commander in chief, he knew that in this country was a rising power that would always seek out its own power. In other words, we got to keep the wars going. We got to keep the wars going. Got to keep sending men out on the battlefield because Hughes helicopter. They're running out of helicopters to sell, and so they need to sell more helicopters. Hughes aircraft, Boeing. Okay, all these other contractors for the Pentagon. They're gonna have to lay guys off. It's gonna ruin the whole country if we don't have a good war here. So let's come up with war. Let's fight another one. And Eisenhower knew it, and that was the last speech that he made as he's exiting the White House, handing keys over to Kennedy. He's sending a warning to Kennedy. Watch out for these guys. And I think Kennedy knew it. Not sure if that's who killed him, but I think he knew it. The same thing exists in practically any denomination, practically any religious movement, including non-denominational affiliations. You can be a non-denominational church but have an affiliation. In other words, there are non-denominational charismatic churches. Well, those charismatic churches, they're definitely not going to be considered the same non-denomination as the Independent Baptist. But the Independent Baptists have their affiliations, and the Charismatics and Pentecostals have their affiliations, and I guarantee you, you've got men who are strong voices in each of those affiliations, each of those movements, and if those men don't like something that another church is doing or another pastor is doing, they can destroy that man. I went to a church. I will not tell you where, I will not tell you when, and I will not tell you who. But I went to a church to preach. I was invited by the pastor. While I was there, he got calls and emails from other pastors in that affiliation who told him, "Do you know who you got there?" Yeah, I got Mike Hoggard. "Do you know who he is? Do you know who he used to be? Do you know what part denomination he used to be a part of? Do you know what he believes? Do you know what he stands on?" And the pastor actually stood up for me and said, "You guys don't own me. You can't call here and make me jump simply because you want me to jump." And he told me that there were people who were telling him that they were going to disfellowship him, disassociate with him, run his name in the mud because he had me preaching at his church. And I'll be honest with you, unless I really know who it is I'm preaching for, I'm not saying I don't accept them. I would almost rather speak in a hotel meeting conference hall than I would a church anymore, simply because the denominations and the people, if they don't like me, they're going to create trouble for this church. And I don't want to do that for them. I got to move on. I got to show you. Anyway, it's not Notre Dame president. It's not everybody else making this guy a monster. He made himself a monster. You just didn't stand up against him because of the power that he had. See, I just think that it's best, may not be for everybody, but for us here at Bethel, it was best that we leave or we stand still while the denomination left us. That way, we can believe what we want to believe. We can practice what we want to practice. We can have church when we want to have it, how we want to have it, from what Bible we want to have it from. We can do all of these things as we feel we are being led by God without worrying what preachers are going to say when I show up at the next meeting. So we just pulled out. We just left. Because there's monsters. Monsters everywhere. All right. I got sent this by a very, very observing watcher. I think a couple of people actually put me onto this, and I appreciate it. When I saw this, I got it. There's layers of meaning and definition in this. Now, there is a video and a website associated with this. And in the course of this, I'll explain this to you, but the video that I was sent to watch was from Titanic singer Celine Dion, who is from Quebec, Canada. This is why I'm including the Canadians in with this. And, at one time you hear things, she's a Christian. Oh, okay. You know, like Whitney Houston was, okay? Or Michael Jackson was, right? Okay. But anyway, everybody in rock and roll and country music is a Christian. That's what some people want you to think. Alice Cooper's, he's a born-again Christian. No, he's out. If he still names himself after a 17th century dead witch, it's not a lot of Christ in that, okay? But anyway, she is actually partnered with a clothing company that designs clothing for children. Not adults. Children. Now, there's irony and hypocrisy in this. Because you're going to see, I'm not going to play the video because YouTube, oh, that's their video and you can't play their video. So I'm not going to play their video. I'm going to show you screen captures and what's being said. In this video, Celine Dion made, she made an advertisement. She's putting her name behind a brand of clothing for children. Now, here's the hypocrisy in this. Is that the statement being made at the front of this video, and actually the whole video, is we're forcing our ideas on children, and children should be allowed to make their own ideas. That's the hypocrisy of it. So how are they promoting children making their own ideas or coming up with their own ideas? They're by parents forcing them to wear these clothes with these political statements that their minds do not understand the issue at hand. Forcing the children are not going to buy these clothes. By law, children are not allowed to make purchases over the internet. They must have parents' permission to do so. By law. Children are not the ones who are going to go to this website to buy these clothes for themselves, saying to their mom and dad, "You have nothing to say about this. This is my choice and I'm making it." It is parents buying clothes, sticking it on their children and saying, "Now doesn't this look nice? Doesn't this make you look liberal?" It is parents forcing this ideology onto their children. There is hypocrisy in this. Huge hypocrisy. But that's not my biggest problem. Oh, no. Not my biggest problem. So let me show you the first of the screen captures. It starts out, Celine. It appears that she's on her way back from a concert. Riding in this fancy SUV limousine. And she's reflecting on her life mantra. And she's saying this, and of course it's printed across the bottom of the screen. Our children that are not really our children. Stop! Stop right here. Yes, they are. It's Hillary Clinton wrote a book called It Takes a Village. Type this phrase in. Your children. Look at there. Look at there. 33 times. 33 times. Actually, I should like 33 times. 33 times the Bible says your, this is God saying those children are yours. Let me think about it. We have laws. There are laws in every country where they issue birth certificates, certificates of live birth, because it establishes the legal parents of minor children. See, we have laws that say that children below a certain age in America, it's 18, they cannot make decisions, some decisions on their own. Now, when they get in school lunch line, they can decide to have milk or juice or whatever, milk or chocolate milk, okay? They don't need a parent's signing a contract for that one. But certain, like, children cannot come into contracts. Parents must, or a legal agent must sign on their behalf. Children do not have private health care law rights. In other words, your child does not have a legal right to withhold his medical condition from his own legal parents. You take your child to the doctor, and the doctor comes back and says, ma'am, we cannot discuss your child's medical condition with you because your child wishes to remain private with her. And you're going, I'm his mom. Get out of my way and give me my kid. I'll go to find another doctor. Kids can't do that. The law recognizes that a child belongs as soon as conceived, and I guess the law would agree with that because conception can only come by way of father and a mother so far. But you get what I'm saying. We have laws that indicate legal rights over the decisions that a child makes up until that child reaches the age of majority, which is in America is 18. When 18, they can vote. They can legally marry on their own without parental consent. They can sign contracts. They can have their own bank account. They can do whatever they want to. They are of legal age. There are some parents who try to overstep their bounds over people over 18 years old, and the parents literally have no rights legally over somebody who's over 18 years of age. If somebody over the 18 years of age wants to tell their legal parents, I don't have to tell you anything. I don't have to get your permission for anything. Legally, they do. I mean, they don't have to. You get what I'm saying? So when it comes to Psalm 115, 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Jesus said in Matthew 7, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Your children. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I mean, it's just verse after verse in the Bible, and then legal precedent that says that a child who genetically, see, there's a book involved, isn't there? There's something written down. The writing of their DNA states that they are the product of two human individual beings. They have parented this child, and this child, even in divorce cases, the law says that most divorced parents still have legal authority over the children that they produced in that marriage or even out of wedlock. If you produced a child, you've got legal rights over that child. That child, under every law, is yours. But now there's this new world order philosophy. Hillary Clinton writes a book called It Takes a Village, and it's from some African metaphor or whatever, some African fable that says that everybody in the village teaches a child. It takes a village to raise a child. And, of course, we know Hillary Clinton and her progressive reforms that she wanted for this country, it was all about a political agenda. It was that the village, in this case, is the government. And Hillary was and still is advocating for not the rights of the individual parents, but the rights of the government to have authority over your children. The UN Treaty on the Rights of a Child basically was a binding law, because if the United States enters into a treaty, that treaty supersedes constitutional law in some cases. But the UN Rights of a Child Treaty basically said that children should have access to all kinds of information out in the world. In other words, nobody should have the right to restrict anything from a child's eyes. That is just irresponsible and stupid, but it is liberal. So here's Celine preaching to the world. For what? What are her credentials? She has a really good high voice. That's her credentials. And she's rich. That's her credentials. Preaching to the world that your children that were produced by you and your spouse, you and your boyfriend, you and whoever, that child came out of your loins according to God and the Constitution. That is your child. You have rights over it. I live in a state. Missouri is a fairly decent homeschool tolerant state. And what limitations there are on homeschoolers, I agree with. Because there's abuses everywhere. And if you don't have certain rules, if people don't follow certain rules, some people cannot rule themselves. They don't do it very well. But anyway, Missouri, the state of Missouri says, yes, while it is constitutional that your child up until the age of 16 must receive an elementary education, the Constitution does not say that that solely belongs to the government. So the state of Missouri says we allow for both private, parochial, or religious schools. There are Muslim schools in the St. Louis area. The state of Missouri says certain religious institutions and private individuals and homes may school their children. And the state of Missouri doesn't jump in and say it must be this curriculum. If you homeschool, you must keep a, boy, here I'm spending a lot of time on this, and I've got a lot to cover, but you get the idea. State of Missouri says that child belongs to you, and you have rights to choose how that child should be educated. But Celine and the new order, the reason why I'm saying this, they want you to think that they're not really our children, that you don't have a right to teach them and parent them and train them in the way that you see fit. That should belong to them, not you. And that's the statement. Notice, I'm big on symbols. I look for symbols here. Now, symbols alone aren't just the picture here. Okay, but they tell the picture. Let me get my pen here. See this symbol here? This is very prominent. There's a reason why, and I'll show you. She's deciding now, instead of going home after the concert, to go to a hospital. She's going to do something about it. As we all are just links in a never-ending chain. Think about that. I'm not chained to anybody. See, that is what that idea there is, community or communitarianism. Communism. The idea that we all belong together, and if one end of the chain goes to hell, then we all have to go to hell. And if we all don't want to go to hell, then all of us have to go to heaven, or none of us can go to heaven. If one of us goes hungry, we must all go hungry. If one person eats, we must all eat. If one person makes $85,000 a year, then we must all make $85,000 a year. And there was a liberal tech company. Silicon Valley tech company. The liberal guy decided he was going to show the world just that liberal socialism is the way to go. And he decided on one day to pay everybody in his company the exact same salary, $85,000 a year. The janitor wiping urine off of the toilets, $85,000 a year, along with his top research and development guys. And his R&D people, they left and went to work for other companies. They said, we're not going to take the pay cut, number one. Number two, we have student loans we have to pay off because we actually went to school and educated ourselves to get better jobs. We're not going to work smarter and longer hours and harder than the janitor does and get the same. We're not going to do it. So now the guy's got a very great organization of janitors. What are you going to do? But anyway, that's that never-ending chain is communitarianism. And it is, we, if one of us suffers, then we must all suffer. If one of us benefits, then we must all benefit. Has to be that way. And in this whole idea of a community church. Now, I know there's some churches. My friend, Pastor John Uter, pastors Oakland Community Church because it's in the Oakland community of the Ozarks, Missouri. But a lot of the churches have changed the name over to a community church, and it's the idea that it's not right that we get to go to heaven and they don't. So how about none of us get to go to heaven until we all get to go to heaven? That's communitarianism in the church. Let me move on. Not, guess, here's the setup here. Guess what she's targeting? She says the course will always be theirs to choose. Guess what she is targeting? Gender. She's not just targeting gender equality. She is promoting gender uniformity. And you're going to see this. She's, and again, the hypocrisy of this. She walks into a hospital nursery. She's angry that they've taken all the little boy babies, put them on one side with blue blankets on them. All the little girls over on the other side with pink blankets on them. Got the stick figure symbols for male and female back there. Oh, I guess the females all have to wear a dress. Well, there's a reason why we do that. It's decency. Because it's not really right to have the stick. I'm not even going to get into that. But the hypocrisy of this is, these children have the right to choose. So I'm going to make your parents buy clothes for you and put them on you and make you wear them, whether you want to wear them or not. And that's what this is all about. Their course will always be there to choose. So she's targeting genderism. So she pulls out of this bag her little black and white magic dust. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And now, notice that instead of male, female, they're all X chromosomes. I mean, do you get it? What is it that signals the difference in DNA between male and female? It is the difference in females have all X chromosomes. All 46, all 23 pairs are X's. In males, there's one Y chromosome. That's the only difference, is one chromosome difference. But it makes males, and it's not just the plumbing that it gives them. It's hormonal balances. It is body style, body height, skeletal structure. Female skeleton is, they can dig up a skeleton and tell you in 5 minutes whether it's male or female. The pelvis is one area to look at. It's not the only thing, but it's one area to look at. Because a woman's pelvis generally is broader and wider to allow for the birth canal. Men don't have that. Typically. I knew a guy that had big hips. And I'm going, he's got hips like my grandma. Okay? Anyway. it's the X. Now they're all unigendered, omnigendered. Everybody is one gender. And in this case, what is it? Whoever has all the X chromosomes. Now think about where this is going. The church in the Bible characterized as what? Male or female?
Female.
While God was truly Jesus' father, who was his mother? A human woman. And you have all through this, when the angels of heaven in Genesis 6 decided to marry, who did they look for? Did they go after the guys because all the angels were women? No. All the angels were men, and they were looking for human, what? Women. To create the giants. In Daniel 2, they are going to mingle themselves with what? Seed of men. Okay? Human, putting themselves into human DNA. And just as the church is always rendered as a woman in the Bible, Mystery Babylon's always a female. Humanity and humanity's soul being the woman, the strange woman, whose mouth is a deep ditch and a pit. Where does the beast come from? The pit comes from the woman. Okay? Here's one of the clothing line. New Order. That's the company. That's their logo, their branding. New Order. And I want you to notice what, now, is this child male or female? It's decided that you don't know that. So, it's decided that this child then will decide what they want to be. Not you. They're going to decide that. Now, I circled the little head mitten there. There's a logo. There's a symbol there. It's not the plus. Something else. The black and white. See the colors. See the color. They've taken out blue and pink and replaced it with these colors. What do these, here we go. What do these colors represent? The Masonic Lodge. The white represents the heavens. The black represents the earth. They are opposites. They are yin and yang mingled together. So we're not talking about a male or a female, all one new gender. And this is from the website of the company. Take a look at these two children. Can you tell what they are? Well, they're children. Yeah, okay. But can you tell what gender they are? See, they were chosen specifically because you can dress a child and fix their hair so that girls look like girls, boys look like boys. But, and I'm not saying this with every case, but in some cases, if you don't specifically dress certain girls and boys as boys and girls, you can't tell. I mean, there's been times my wife and I have said, is that a girl or a boy? Honey, help me out here. Is that a girl? I don't know. That was the point behind this picture. is to unify the gender. The new world gender. Here's the website, Silinununu. That's the website, .com. Silinununu. New. Like new order, new world order. Unites, look at this, unites two forces, think about it, by one voice. Two forces. A masculine force and a feminine force, like here. And here. A masculine force and a feminine force, a positive and a negative. It unites the two together. And it says, by one voice, fashion has the power to shape people's minds. Inspire your children to be free and find their own individuality through clothes. See, the hypocrisy here is that these children aren't the ones who are going to be buying this clothes. It's the liberal moms and it's the socialist, communist, liberal moms and dads who are, and some United Methodists and Presbyterians and United Churches of Christ. And probably some Baptist and Catholic. And they're going to buy these clothes for these children from this website, from Celine Dion, and dress them up and send them to school with this, or take them to the mall with this, or take them to church or Sabbath school or whatever. It's the parents that are still forcing the children into an opinion. It's still there. I mean, if these liberal parents really thought this, then why can't I tell them how to dress their children? They would tell me, it's not your kids. These are my kids. Stay in your own yard. Oh, this yard is your yard. This yard is my yard. From California yard to the New York Islands. Okay, that was pretty good. Come on, where's my funny joke sound effect? I mean, I got that one. I got that one. I don't know where my funny joke sound effect is. Look, see? And see, this one here, these two children were chosen because of their opposite to each other. Omni, a new world order gender that is neither male nor female, but both male and female. And what spirit is behind it? What spirit is that? What do you think? What spirit is behind what this logo represents, this symbol represents? Look at that. Poor child. Already getting tatted up. Okay. That one's got a mark on its forehead. A pentagram. Raise boys and girls the same way. And the symbolism here, they want you, and they're selling you a pair of shoes, right? A pair of slippers, a pair of socks or whatever. But the symbolism of this photograph is left and right are now the same. No, they're not. No, they're not. I mean, you may have one person, let's say out of 1,000, that is truly ambidextrous, that can use their left as well as their right and vice versa. That's the extreme and not the rule. The rule is practically everybody on the planet, the normal is we all have one dominant side. Your Bible has a dominant, and I guess that would segue into what we were talking about earlier. Your Bible has a dominant part to it, a part that's more powerful. That is the New Covenant, not the Old Covenant. Even though the Old Covenant has more in it, the New Covenant, though smaller in its appearance and the number of words and the number of chapters and books, is by far the greater of the two covenants, the longer lasting. And it is God in His Word who said that the woman was what kind of vessel? I didn't say it. God said it. God said that the woman was the weaker vessel, and the enemy targeted the weaker vessel, not the stronger one. What does that tell you about the enemy? Okay, he's going to go after weaknesses, not strengths. But in this new order, they want you to think that left and right are equals, and that they are both united together as the same. Left is right. Really? Then don't listen to your GPS telling you where to drive anymore. In 400 feet, please make a turn. What direction? There are no directions. This is the new world, and there are no directions. Excuse me, you need to do some recalculating yourself. So here, the website says, Celine Nunu is a joint partnership between iconic performer Celine Dion and co-founders and designers of the kids' fashion brand Nunu, Iris Adler and Tali Milchberg. Together, these fierce female forces, that's three Fs, by the way, have created a new children's clothing brand that breeds equality and freedom of spirit, serving as a platform for new humanistic education. See it? By the way, why does their website have to promote the idea that their founders are female? Silinunu liberates children from the traditional roles of boy/girl and enables younger people to grow on values of equality with the freedom to strengthen their own power of personality based on mutual respect. The brand flows on the axis between the values of education and empowering dialogue. In other words, we're still going to force the kids to wear this to school. We believe that an educational experience is possible through children's clothes because fashion builds concepts deep within our minds and changes thought patterns. Did you catch that? It's all about a paradigm shift. Something that's so outrageous that it pushes all the boundaries. It can create equality and grow the emotional intelligence that drives the practice of responsibility, freedom, and flexibility of thought. Flexibility of thought. Flexible thoughts. Do you vow to take so-and-so to be your wedded wife, that you will keep thyself only unto her so long as you both shall live? I vow to have a very flexible vow. If you said that on your wedding date, and your wife or your husband still stood with you, they're an idiot. They're an idiot. Or they are really in love. If you said, my vows to me are flexible. I believe in flexibility of thought. I believe in flexibility. See, let me get back to what I was saying earlier about the covenants, about keeping the law. See, you want God to be flexible in His laws, don't you? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You want God to condemn everybody else that are doing things that you don't like. But then you want God to allow you to do whatever you want to and the things that you really like doing. Like you would condemn children for being disobedient to your parents, but you're an adulterer. And sometimes you wish that there was no law against adultery. Or that there was no laws against stealing. Or no law against lying. No law against murder. Don't tell me you don't. Don't tell me you never thought that. Don't tell me you never wanted God's law to either be gone or at least bent a little bit to favor you. Your flesh did. Whether your brain recognizes it or not, your flesh hates that God wrote the law on stone, unbendable, unflexible stone. Your flesh hates that. And so what you want is the ability to live partly by the law and for God to bend on the rest of it. Well, God, I almost didn't commit adultery, right? I mean, out of the, you know, three times that I did commit adultery, there was hundreds of times where I almost did, but I didn't. So, I mean, that's as good, right? I mean, it's better. Like, 100 times where I could have and didn't is better than three times where I did. I mean, that ought to count for something, right? See, that's what you want. You want God to be flexible. You want God to write his laws on Play-Doh, not stone. Or you want God to erase all 10 laws with the exception of the Sabbath law, giving you the ability to break all the other 9 laws while you go to church on Sunday and feel like you've really contributed to God. People, and for that matter, little humans express themselves. See, they're not children. They're little humans. Express themselves through clothes. We would like to see, they're not expressing themselves. You're expressing you through their clothes. We would like to enable them to be who they are so that their choices are driven by their own true essence and free spirit beyond stereotypes or any norm. The dialogue between clothes and creativity and art amplifies the discussion about a humanistic education, which is a gender-free, strengthens the power of personality, and gives the spirit space to grow. This is the education that fashion can instill based on the concept of equality and respect for what kind? See, I laugh at the hypocrisy of this whole website. And for that matter, liberals themselves are hypocrites. They want everybody to pay through the nose in taxes, so they can have that money to give out as they need, as what builds them power. But the truth of it is, they themselves don't want to be taxed. Congress wants you to be jammed into a universal health benefit law while they themselves are exempt. That's hypocrisy. And communists, in their very concept of government, communists and socialism is hypocritical. They say that we are all equal, and yet somebody's got to manage all that money coming in. Somebody's got to sit and hold all the power. Somebody's got to sit and monitor the thoughts of everybody in the state. Somebody's got to do that, right? So it's always going to be the hierarchy in the communist government. They're the only ones who are not equal to everybody else. They are supreme to everybody else. The Politburo is supreme to the comrades who are out living in the land and in the cities. Okay? The supreme leader is always higher above in North Korea than all the little pukes down there picking rice. Communism. It's a joke. It's a hypocritical joke is what it is. Celine Nununu empowers these forces of creativity and imagination, inspiring the freedom of the spirit and an empowering dialogue for all, because everything is possible equally. Really? Walk on water. Walk on water. Walk on, just climb an imaginary staircase with your real feet and then tell me that everything is possible equally. People, don't fall for this stuff. Don't fall for this philosophy of this world telling you that if you just dream, everything is possible. No, it's not. No, it's not. With God, all things are possible. This is how God sees it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He put the light on one side and the darkness on the other. Did he not? I mean, look here. See that? Light's on one side, darkness on the other. Are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, technically there's 24, but only 12 of them are illuminated. By the way, it's a circle. There is always a division between light and darkness, day and night. Always. From the very first moment of creation, the very first day, God divided light and dark. He didn't wait till the fourth day. He already established the division between light and darkness and then gave rulers over each on the fourth day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters, because not all waters are equal. God made the, and if you think that's all equal, really, next time you're at the ocean, get you a gallon, drink it on the way home. God made the firmament, divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. It was so, and God called the firmament heaven. Heaven is not earth, and earth is not heaven. Right? And those who would say, you know, I got to throw this in. Those who would say that here's the earth, and here's the heavens. That's not what the Bible says. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God and us are not equal. We're not equal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together waters called he seas. Earth is not sea, and sea is not earth. It's not the same. There are rules for navigating and actually moving across the earth that you don't have to really stick to in the sea. In the earth, you have obstacles. In the sea, you just got sea. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. The greater light is not the lesser light, and the lesser light is not the greater light. 1 Thessalonians 5, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now we're dealing with children. Children are not equal. Children of the day are not children of the night, and children of the night are not children of the day. Not in God's eyes. You're father of the devil. Go back to that statement that Celine Dion said at the beginning of that video. They're not really our children. They belong to everybody. It's not true. It's not true, people. There's saved people and there are lost people. And they are not the same people. Now, lost people know that saved people don't act the way they do. Don't they? Because you have lost family members, lost coworkers, lost friends. And when you curse and drink and do dope like they do, their thought is, I thought you were church person. I thought you were a Christian. They know that church people don't live how they live. They've got sense enough to know that. You apparently don't. You think that, I'm just trying to, be like them. Yeah, man, I'm reaching for Jesus. No, we all know the reason why you're doing what you're doing. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with your lustful flesh. You see, lost people know that there's a difference. Church people should know that there's a difference. Now, I want to reverse that and tell us, church people, lost people are not saved. Of course, your lost family members are going out getting tattoos all over their bodies. Of course, they're piercing parts of their skin that should never be pierced. Of course, they're not getting married. Of course, they raise their children differently. Of course, they drink. Of course, they smoke. Of course, they do drugs. They are lost. And our parents and grandparents, I'll say our grandparents, lived in a time when there was a universal conformity in most parts of this country that most people were expected to live under. And those days are gone. Those days left with the 70s. And now, people are everything under the sun. That doesn't mean that we should join them to be like them so we can win to them Jesus. No, no, no. We're children of the light. We're not supposed to live that way. And our churches are not supposed to be modeled after what the world wants and expects. They're to be modeled after what God says, not the other way around. Likewise, we cannot expect our lost friends, family members, to be conservative Christian Republicans. Now, it's nice if they are conservative Republicans, but we can't expect them to be. They are the one, do you know what? I mean, it used to surprise me. Now it doesn't. Do you know why lost people in general are now embracing people who live sodomite lifestyles? Do you know why? Because they themselves, when it comes to immorality, they're 1,000 miles away from it. And in their mind, well, if I condemn so-and-so for wanting to, if I'm condemning my brother for having a boyfriend, he could turn around and condemn me because he knows I'm married and I've got two girlfriends. So I'm not going to condemn him. I'm going to live and let live. That's my philosophy. Live and let live. I let everybody live, do whatever they want to. I don't want them telling me what to do. They don't tell me what to do. That's why this country has turned into what it's turned into. So, church people, remember, they are lost. They are in darkness. They are dead in trespasses and sins, as Lazarus was. And instead of us demanding that they live like us, even if they're not saved and Christians, is about as the same as them demanding that we live like them and believe what they believe in. And we don't, because we're Christians. But you get the idea. God is the one who separates them. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them or him. See, it matters. Male is not female. Female is not male. I'll give you an example. Show you how this works. I'm not in any way being vulgar or crude. Okay? This is known as an RCA plug, probably because RCA invented it. These are known as male plugs. These are known as female plugs. In electricity, in plumbing, they say, hand me that male end there. No, that's the female end, you idiot. Hand me the male end. Yeah, that one right there. Yep, that's it. So that's what they call them. Because of that. Okay? It's not vulgar. It's just physics. Because that, you're not going to get any sound out of that. And you're not going to get any sound out of this. It won't work. That works. And so, Celine, you and your, maybe they're lesbian, I don't know, girlfriends. Maybe you just forgot what being normal is all about. And maybe you left common sense a long time ago. But it isn't us evil old people who are stuck in the past who are trying to force these ridiculous gender identities down the throats of our children. It was actually written by God in their DNA. God is the one who made that child a female. And God is the one who made that child a male. I saw it with my own children, and now I see it with my grandchildren. My grandsons, every one of them, on their own, as toddlers, were picking up cars and trucks and balls. And my granddaughters, all of them, are picking up dolls and dresses. I've got a granddaughter. There is nothing about her that says masculinity. Nothing. From the earliest age possible, she was dressing herself in pretty pink clothes and pretty sunglasses and pretty things in her long hair and pretty this and pretty that. She'd been picking out her own clothes, and she's never picked up a pair of overalls. Ever. I didn't force gender identity down my grandchildren's throat. That was written into their DNA. And see, these people can scream and shout about how they are choosing their own gender identity. No, they're disallowing the one that they were chosen to be, and they don't like that. But that can't be helped. Certain things in this world just cannot be helped. See, even in this plug, the way that the audio is able to go through this plug is by way of physics principles. And I'm talking about electricity, positive and negative. What would happen if we got rid of all of the electrons in the universe, it would be the end of all the universe. What if we made all the protons the same as all the electrons? Or what if we made all the protons and electrons all neutrons? Be the end of the universe. We can no more force a unified gender down children's throats than we could to force neutral, let's see, what would they be? Force protons and electrons to become neutrons. It's the way their creator made them to be. The wisest man on the earth said, "Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth."
Interesting. Slides across the floor, right through the door, and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the hog.
Anyway, but it's been good. No church tomorrow night. Thanksgiving evening.